And I speak to you in God's holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. These readings today are quite powerful and sometimes confusing, but they're really speaking to the fact that we are called to have faith. We're called to have faith in God no matter what the circumstances, no matter how we are persecuted, no matter what the conditions might be, then in the midst of it, God, who we understand that God is love, is alive and vibrant and resides with us. And people before us understood that message, and no matter what persecution, no matter what was happening, God was a constant presence. Now, we've been following this summer an exploration of what it means to be a progressive Christian. And we're going to continue that today, looking at the fifth guidepost of progressive Christianity. The fifth guidepost is to find grace in the search for understanding and believe that there is more value in questioning than in absolutes. There is more value in questioning than in absolutes. Finding grace in searching and not trying to embrace this is it. The only embracing absolute that I believe in is that God is love and that God is always present. But it's okay to question everything else. Now, we live in a time in which people are questioning and other people are dividing and wanting not to question. We saw in the United States yesterday a polarization of thought and belief between two various sides. Today in Hong Kong, it's working out two different ways of approaching life. Some people want an absolute in one regard, the power of the state, and the others want an absolute in the power of the people through democracy. But there is a division. We in the church have faced the same kind of division. We have some folks who want to say, this is how it is with the Bible, and there's nothing else you can look at. If you look or research or talk about anything else, you are outside of the norm of Christianity. Don't look at science. Don't look at psychology. Don't look at the various aspects of science. Don't look at other people's philosophical thought. Here's a list of books you can read. And you can only read these books. If you read any other book, you're outside the faith. That's still going on. I'll name it. The Roman Catholic Church has a list of books you can read or not read if you're going to be going to seminary. And some of the fundamentalist evangelical churches has a list of books that you can read or not read. And if you read anything else, you get criticized. We believe that it's okay to research anywhere and to consider rationally anything around us and to look at it in terms of what it means to be a faithful person living in 2019. We never, as Anglicans, have published a list of books. We've never told anybody you can't read this, that, or the other thing. Now, there may be a little social pressure not to read something, I'll tell you. I'll give you an example. When I was in seminary, I had to do a research paper on the Holy Spirit. And so I went through the library at King's, University of King's College in Halifax. It's kind of boring, you know, and I thought, there must be something more. So I had a library card for Dalhousie, and I went to their much bigger library. And I went into the philosophy area, and all of a sudden found all this work about the hero, and found that the hero theology actually went back to the time of the Egyptians, and when they found the Rosetta Stone, they started translating some of the Egyptian hieroglyphics and found essentially most of the books of the early Old Testament in Egyptian spirituality. And I thought, well, this is interesting. And the whole part about the Holy Spirit and his development was in Egypt. So I wrote this great paper up, and I presented it to my professor. And about 2 weeks later, I got a call. Dr. Hibbets wants to see you. So Dr. Hibbets was a very tall, thin man. And when he was very overbearing in a way, and he had this little milk stool. You know the stool I have when we go out for treats? Well, my stool was twice as tall as his. So I was sitting down here, and Dr. Hibbets was there. He had a speech impediment. David, I want to talk to you about your paper, David. And I thought, oh, God. I came from the farm, and when I was called David, I knew I was in trouble. So, your paper is very interesting, and it's very true. But if you ever preach this in a congregation, you could be defrocked. And I thought, wow. And I said, well, Dr. Hibbets, why? And he said, because you will upset the congregation and they can't handle this kind of truth. Well, that was then. That was like over 50 years ago. And this is now. We can handle truths. And the truth is that we can look in any space to find inspiration as progressive Christian people to look at as we consider who are we on our faithful journey with God? Who are we on the journey of God living within us? And it's okay to find grace in searching and not having to be saying, this is absolutely it. Now, there is a group within Anglicanism that really has difficulty with that. But that's all right. They're entitled to have that opinion. But as progressives, we can look anywhere on our faith journey and have an inspiration from it. So it's okay to examine Islam and see that they have some really interesting thoughts that are important for us. Have you ever watched somebody who is worshiping in Islam and how they make the prostrate and their face is down on the ground and their backs are up? You've seen that? Do you know what that means? What it means is they're saying that my heart must be higher than my head. That I must, as a follower of God, come to God with an open heart in emotionally loving more than just using my head to be thoughtful. I have to use my heart and my faith in following God. I didn't know that. I thought that was really quite interesting. A physical sign of how we demonstrate our faith. And you can go to Buddhism, you can go anywhere as a progressive and be inspired and not be ashamed of looking at other people's ways of approaching the God within, the God that's universal in the world. And so as we read the scripture today, we see that the major point is to have faith. We have faith in God no matter what is going on around us, but that God is universal. God is for everyone. There's no such thing as the Christian God and the Buddhist God or the Islamic God or the Sikh God. There may be the approach the pathway, but it doesn't mean that there's different gods. There's only one God, and we worship the one God, and we understand, and it's okay to seek to have understanding in how other people are inspired by the one God. And we can then talk to each other. Because if we don't learn to talk to each other and be a community of the planet, we are in dire circumstances. We prayed this morning the climate prayer. Why? Because we're all on this earth together. We all live on the one planet. We all breathe the one air. We all drink the same water. And God gave it to all of us. And it's together we're going to find the solution. So we have to break down our artificial boundaries and come to know that it's together we will solve the problem. And also it's opening our own minds up that it's okay to search and to question and to learn from each other, because that is the way that it is for the people of the planet. We've all been created by God, and together we walk as a community. I pray today as we receive the sacrament, where we know that God's love is poured out for us, that we are inspired by that love to get over historic boundaries that we've had, to get over historic concerns, and to become more open, to take risks in love and risks in faith as a people of God on a journey of life for now and for ages to come. May God bless us all. Amen.